NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mudnatsky. Broadcasting live from the best yet broadcast booth in Foxborough. NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, insurance simplified. Check out Kaplansky.com today. And co-sponsored by Anderson McQuaid Architectural Moldings, your New England Kubota tractor dealers, and by Boston Volkswagen. Now here's Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mudnatsky.
Hour number four, NFL Sunday. It's Rich Keefe, Christian Fourier. Mutt's got the night off. We're taking it up until 8 o'clock here. Patriots and Packers at 8:20. We are now joined by Tom E. Kern from NBC Sports Boston. Tom, how are you?
Tremendous, Richard. How are you? Hello, Christian.
Hello.
I am just great. What about the Patriots, though? First of all, Tom is brought to you by Dr. Robert Leonard and Dr. Matthew Lopresti, the hair doctors of Tom E. Kern at 1-800-GET-HAIR. We just got the news about 15 minutes ago. No Gronk, no Sony Michel. How drastically does that change things for the Patriots?
Well, it's really going to change things, obviously, in the running game. While the Patriots have been opening great holes for Michelle and the running backs over the last few weeks, you saw last week against Buffalo how much they were hamstrung in play action. I think a lot of people were under the impression that anyone could have created what Michelle was creating. Really, their production and lack thereof, and the fact that Cordero Patterson and Julian Edelman carried the ball more than Barner and White, indicates just how much Michelle had emerged. And I think it impacts them greatly. Not only does it impact them greatly in the running game from the backfield, Shaq Mason's out, Marcus Cannon returning from a concussion, and Gronkowski is such a factor in the running game as well that you're looking at a very one-dimensional Patriots offense going into tonight, and it does beg the question, and I do defer to the Patriots on a lot of personnel decisions, but it begs the question of why didn't they get a running back at any point in the last couple of weeks? Since Michelle went down, they just didn't feel like anybody was very enticing on the market.
Yeah, so you know what this means, though, right? Right, Tom? You know it's a big day. You know who's going to have a big day? Big, great, day.
Yeah, it's,
what do you think?
Who
do you think? Hello?
Yeah.
Are you feeling all right over there? Are you talking to somebody? What are you doing?
I just turned the wrong way. I just
can you do me a favor? Can you just stop
in the parking
moving?
Lot.
Okay, stop moving.
Set the scene, Tom. Where are you?
I mean,
are
honestly,
you okay?
Like, you look like you're preoccupied with something.
No, I'm not. I just turned the wrong way into the player's parking lot. Nine people said, sir.
All right, so you're going to be arrested.
Where's your credential, sir? Who is this? What are you doing?
So here's my point. My deal is this. So two guys, I think, should benefit from the fact that there is no Sony Michel and there is no Rob Gronkowski. One is Dwayne Allen. The other one is Josh Gordon.
Josh Gordon, I'm 1,000% with you. How does Dwayne Allen benefit?
Come on.
Process
this is a Fourier thing, Tom.
Of elimination. Eventually, it's going to happen.
No, it's not.
But think about it. Or it won't. He's that bad.
Yes. Let me stop you right there.
How
many times do they have to go to him before you can conclude? This is not.
They haven't gone to him.
They
haven't gone to him, Tom. That stupid little screen. I mean, come on. Give the guy a break.
They did last year. They went to him about nine times last year, and he looked like a grizzly bear trying to pluck a salmon out of the friggin' rapids. It just doesn't look good.
All right.
It does not look good. What really
is hurting him, and I just saw him, Jacob Hollister not being able to play.
You're making my point for me.
Yeah, that's bad.
No Hollister. So give me a lineup, right? James Devlin starting at tailback. What is he, the next Mike Alsott?
No, you got James.
No, it's going to be James Devlin. It's going to be James Devlin in front of Cordero Patterson on occasion. Oh. It's going to be jet sweep action. It's going to be trying to get James White in space. It's going to be relying on the quarterback to make chicken salad out of chicken bleep. And hopefully Josh Gordon, who you picked up for a song and crossed your fingers with, gives you a terrific night because that's where Mike Pettine is going to allow you to throw. Mike Pettine is going to put so many people in the areas to flood the zones against White and Edelman and say, well, you got no Gronkowski in the seam either? Who do you have in the seam? You got Dwayne Allen? Fine. Why don't you try and hit Josh Gordon outside because that might be an area for you.
Does this explain why Gronk might have sounded the way that he did this week? Maybe he knew that he wasn't going to be playing?
Health-wise, it's really been weighing on him, yeah. that, you know, because I saw it after the Kansas City game in the locker room. Usually I've been able to sidle up to him. We'll have a decent conversation and he's pretty upbeat. After that game, he was down and he's continued to be kind of subdued in the week since. And I asked someone this week, I said, what's going on? He said, it's just health. He just isn't where he wants to be health wise. So I think there's a rush on to stick a fork in Gronk as a player. And to me, that's strange because for the first month of the season, teams were doubling and tripling him, and he still was putting up some numbers, including in the first game of the season with an acrobatic catch. He has since made acrobatic catches last week. He had a terrific close to the game against Kansas City. So I think that people are being premature with indicating that he's the party's over with him. But I do think that he needs to get healthier, and this is probably part of the reason that he's down this week. He couldn't go, period. And he has been – you guys remember when he said, I'll be back when I'm 100%. And I maybe he's subscribing to that again this week.
I don't know if they can wait for him to come back until he's 100%. So what do you think he was last week? 80? And what had to happen for him? So if he played on Monday night, right, what did he do from Monday night till now to not allow him to play in the game?
Maybe that wham block. You know, he had a wham block where he got bent backwards by a defensive tackle. I also saw him get knocked pretty easily off a route inside the red zone. And then there was that near pick where he dove and wasn't able to make the catch. But again, he is able to summon the physicality to make catches like he did along the sideline. He is able to summon the wherewithal to go in motion and deliver a wham block on a defensive tackle on which he gets bent backwards. But he's a remarkable player, but it's interesting to see how vulnerable he can be when he's not getting the ball or feels like he is being marginalized. And I think that he does feel as if, you know, either the Patriots don't believe in him as much as they used to, or he's being marginalized a bit. And I think that everything that happened in April with him going kind of on wildcat strike and then the team putting him on the block and him saying, holy crap, you guys are really going to trade me? I'm not going anywhere. I think it probably has changed the way he views himself and his own football mortality a bit.
Now, obviously, there's been a ton of hype this week, Brady versus Rodgers. It's only the second time it's ever happened in their career. Some have even gone as far as saying that this is the best quarterback matchup of all time. Do you think is that even in the conversation, or we want it to be so because it's happening right now?
I mean, we're really contorting ourselves to try and make this compelling. That I realized that yesterday.
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan. I was like, wow. Hey,
we got to find out.
Got to be the two goats.
Okay, well, I work for NBC, so I thought that was terrific and a nice promotion. Be that as it may.
It was, yes.
When you look at – we're sitting here watching a guy who not only won three Super Bowls, in his first 4 years as a starter, started out 10-0 in the playoffs, turned around, and once they gave him some toys, no disrespect, Christian, threw 50 touchdowns in his first year with a bona fide wide receiver. So he was probably the greatest quarterback of all time.
Who was a tight end then?
Ben Watson.
How about that?
Ben Watson.
Kyle Brady, please.
Sorry. But Ben was running around, wasn't he? Yeah, he was. So he was probably the best player of all time with a case easily made in 2007. Then he comes back in 2010, first unanimous MVP, goes to two more Super Bowls, you know, goes to another Super Bowl, and then he wins it against a generationally great defense and then with a seismic comeback that nobody else could have executed. And we're sitting here trying to pretend that Aaron Rodgers is even in the same conversation. And there are no peers. Rodgers just qualifies as the most reasonable case you can make that he is a peer. Drew Brees isn't a peer. Peyton Manning,
well, so I guess,
by the end,
I guess,
really wasn't
so,
a peer.
And that's what I ended up finding that more interesting this week. And I was telling Fourier, it's not like we're going to spend a ton of time on it in Boston, but it's almost like if you put Brady to the side and look at everybody else really since 2000, like where does Aaron Rodgers rank amongst those guys? Like, is he better than Brees? I think so. I think he might even be better than Peyton Manning. But, I mean, that's the conversation that makes more sense.
Yeah, it's Brees and Roethlisberger and Manning. Those are the only guys you can even enter into the conversation. And, you know, poor Philip Rivers, you know, people are out there trying to say, well, here's sure. – come on.
He's
come on,
nice player.
Philip Rivers hadn't played this. Yeah. But this is like Tracy McGrady against Michael Jordan we're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So what does it look like defensively for the Patriots, right? So how do they – I'm trying to think of some of their weapons, right?
Gilmore will go against Davante Adams. Jimmy Graham's having a terrific year. But Davante Adams has grown into a guy they rely on. He's got 52 catches this year. Jimmy Graham and Randall Cobb are both around 28, 27 receptions. They are missing their downfield guy. You know, they're kind of Chris Hogan guy, Geronimo Allison. But there's a long kid who they have, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who has in the last two weeks, he's caught 5 for 148. So he'll be a factor as well that they want to lose track of. Ty Montgomery's out, but he hasn't been as big a factor in the running game recently anyway. So I think the Patriots, against all odds, I don't know why I think that. I think they can hang with them defensively. Because I do think that Gilmore will wipe out or can wipe out Davante Adams.
Do you think the Patriots do you think the Packers take any of their game plan from last week that they put up against Jared Goff where they sacked him a ton of times? They didn't get any picks, but they sacked him I think like 5 times, and really that was a big part of the Packers really being in control of that game until the second half when the Rams, took over.
Yeah, because and here's the interesting thing. They had 5 and 6 defensive backs on the field for most of the game, 6 defensive backs on the field for most of the game, and the Rams weren't really able to hurt them with Todd Gurley. The Patriots obviously don't have Todd Gurley. They don't even have Lawrence McCutcheon. They have nothing to run out there in terms of, you know, a running back tonight. So you could just put 6 defensive backs out there, double.
Yeah, you
work,
don't have to double Gronk
robbers,
anymore, right?
Bandits,
you're not doubling anybody, are you?
Double White and double Edelman.
Well, it's
one and a half. I don't know how you double a running back coming out.
That's what I said. It's hard to double him. And with Edelman, you really, I guess you bracket him, right?
Right. So you do what Atlanta did to Edelman in the Super Bowl, but you have more people. I just don't know how they challenged the safeties, and that should have been maybe a place where they could have looked, because with Ha-Ha Clinton Dix being traded this week, and that guy's played every snap for the last 2 years, you could have said, well, you know, they might have a little difficulty replacing him. But if you're Mike Pettin, I mean, who's the red zone threat? James White has profited greatly and had a terrific year because he's been a red zone threat that teams have lost track of. But it's going to be hard for any team to lose track of James White tonight when you don't have anybody else except for Edelman to offset. And, of course, Gordon, I think. Gordon, Edelman, and White are the offense.
This seems like all of a sudden a huge game for the Packers. I mean, the Bears and Vikings both won today. They traded away 2 of their regular players this week. And so even, you know, they have a real opportunity. No Gronk, no Michelle. They seem like, without question, they're going to be the more desperate team. They lose this, they have a losing record on the year.
Yeah, and not only that, but I think if you look at the Patriots in terms of import, this game's not nearly as important as Monday night's game was or next Sunday's game was. This is an out-of-conference game that is not really going to impair the Patriots from winning their division, which continues to nosedive. So I think that the Patriots, you know, it's a great game in terms of sexiness and hype, and they're going to sell out with the players that they have on the field to win the thing. But it is, you're right. It's much more important to the Green Bay Packers than it is the Patriots.
How do you see it playing out?
Previously, I saw it playing out that the defense would play well and that Josh Gordon would push him over the top. But to not have Gronk as well as Michelle, and I know that they were doubtful all week or at least questionable all week.
Right.
And I wasn't really counting on Michelle. But to have Gronk out really underscores the fact that they're going to be hard-pressed in the running game. And last week they weren't able to cobble anything together. That's been the main reason they looked so good offensively, I thought, was the emergence of Michelle. Now to not have him and Gronk, puts a crimp in their plans. So it rides on the defense to keep them out of the end zone when they get to the red zone.
All right, it's Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Thanks for the time as always, Tom. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, fellas. See ya.
Thank you very much.
Later.
Tommy Curran. We have the TVs on Rams-Saints in here, and Saints had a 3-point lead, and then they just hit Michael Thomas on, I don't know, had to be like a 70-yard touchdown. And Michael Thomas immediately ran to the goalpost and pulled out a cell phone, a la Joe Horn. Yeah, he did. He did. He did the Joe Horn.
And he's getting a talking to right now.
And he got flagged for it. I guess you can't have props because they allow him to dance. They can dance like crazy if they want. Or maybe you can't touch the – because he had to remove part of the padding, or at least he moved it up. He had the cell phone, though, ready to go. My question would be, did he have the cell phone in both goalposts?
You kind of have to.
Because you don't know, right?
And you can't use your own phone, right?
No, probably a burner phone. Probably a burner phone. But he did. A little tip of the cap to Joe Horn, who I thought was a very underrated receiver.
It looks like a flip phone.
It did. Well, that's because that was the Joe Horn. That was the Joe Horn of the
Yeah, I'd have a real problem with that.
The flip phone?
Well, yeah. Anyone who has a flip phone, yes. Or the
you don't like
the
celebration? They're up 10. They're up 10 here.
To me, that is
selfish.
Well, you know, we're giving you an opportunity to celebrate, and you know, then you're going to do some bogus. And you're
having
like
a
good
year. Hey, I like it.
It's just
he's having a great year. He's a beast.
No, he look at him. He looks like a beast.
He does. I mean, he's incredible.
Crazy
he's
hair.
He looks
that.
Nuts.
Sean Payton trying to explain to why that was a bad idea.
He's a great player, though.
I would say not like it would necessarily kill them, but you know, what are they kicking?
But
from,
this could be the
20 right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
this could be the Rams' first loss. How much time? I can't read from here.
There is 3 minutes and 52 seconds. And
there you go.
Run it back. I hope he runs it back.
Oh, he got it out to the 43.
So one of the reasons why that was a dumb move.
There you go. Because of that right
now
there.
Now you can't kick it in the end zone, and the guy runs it out, and he gets 20 extra yards.
Oh, we got to take this call for you. This is Steve in Miami on your favorite player. What do you got, Steve?
How you guys going, doing tonight?
Or doing great.
Fantastic. Yes. Dwayne Allen, let me ask you a question. I realize he blocks. To me, he's the Sandy Leone in the sense of the Red Sox, who doesn't hit. But I understand that he blocks. But tell me, why didn't the Patriots go after, knowing that Gronk has had trouble being in all 16 games, why did they leave it to a guy who has he even caught a pass this year? No, right?
I believe that's a no. Oh, yeah, one. He has one, but he actually has negative yards.
Screen.
Thank you, Ryan.
Screen
that's nice.
Of course. Last year, I think it wasn't until like game 9 that he did. I mean, I realize he's a blocking tight end.
That's right.
And in Indianapolis, I think he did catch a few passes. But why didn't Bill go after a tight end who could also receive? I mean,
all right, thank you for the call. First of all, he was a receiving tight end. He was both.
He was great at Clemson.
Got hurt. Yeah. I mean, he had a bunch of catches. You know what? He is a prime example of a guy who's talented that just kind of lost favor with Tom. And even though they tried to force some issues,
Scott Chandler
just never.
Scott Chandler wasn't. Dwayne Allen's a better player than Scott Chandler. But Scott Chandler wasn't bad in Buffalo.
And he was a Patriot killer. Every time he played against the Patriots, he had an unbelievable game. But I think his biggest issue is that he got hurt. He had a real bad knee. I don't think anybody knew about it. And it just limited what he was capable of doing. But Dwayne Allen, to me, I'm not going to give up on it. Cannot convince me.
You got to give up on it.
I can't quit him.
Caller had a great point. He's the Sandy Leone of the Patriots. He has a great point. He can block.
But
He's
I would
a good
say
blocker.
What Sandy does.
You got to give up on Allen. I mean, what are we doing here?
What Sandy does is probably more impactful than what Dwayne Allen does.
Is that right?
If that's fair to say. So.
Oh, I forgot. This is the Brandon Cooks revenge game. Rams and Saints. He's one team removed.
Yeah, I was going to say one team removed.
But he's back
fine.
In New Orleans. So we got our eyes on this. The Rams are down 10, but they have the ball. We're around 3 minutes or so left. So we'll come back. We still got time for your phone call. 617-779-7937. No Gronk, no Sony Michel for Patriots and Packers tonight. It's NFL Sunday, Sports Radio, WEEI.
To NFL Sunday on Sports Radio, WEEI.
There's no throw that he sees on the field that he doesn't think he can make, and I think that's why he makes a ton of them.
Kind of sounds like somebody I know.
Well, it's different for me. I think I have a different play style than him.
But I'm saying as far as the peripheral vision, as far as the pocket awareness, I mean, you move around pretty well in the pocket, too.
Yeah, I have a decent feel in there. I mean, I think it's a different type of pocket movement. I don't have instinctually any thought of running. You know, I talked to him at one point, and I said, well, you know, when you're looking in there and you think about running, he goes, no, I see the coverage, and once I know the coverage, I know I'm going to run. Mm. And I'm like, man, that thought has never gone off in my head one time.
Tom Brady talking with Rodney Harrison. Apparently, you're going to hear that during the broadcast tonight, Sunday Night Football. I guess it got released a little early.
I guess we got
our hands on that. Nice job by Ryan finding that, our producer.
Really, thanks to Glenn.
Glenn, also, Glenn was talking all about it.
I think Glenn was a little, you know.
Little. Yeah, I got that too.
Well, I mean, who's to say? He did bring food over.
He did.
I'm not going to say a bad thing about him. So we appreciate the food. And again, tune in as soon as the game is over to the real post-game show with Glenn and Steve and Fred right here on WEEI. But we have more from so I guess Rodney Harrison sat down with Tom Brady. Also talked with Aaron Rodgers. And so Brady was talking about – that was interesting. You know, he never ever – and it's no surprise, but he never ever thinks about running. But even Aaron Rodgers, very accurate passer, guy that throws for a ton of touchdowns, a ton of yards – he sees a certain coverage. He's like, no, I'm going to run. Like, and you'll see it. Tonight you'll see it. There'll be a 3rd and 7. Yeah. Everybody's going to be covered, and he's going to pick it up, and it's going to piss you off as a Patriot fan. But he can do that, and a lot of quarterbacks now can make that play. But we have more from Tom Brady.
He called you a pioneer because of your longevity and your success. What's your reaction to that?
It's pretty
nice compliment.
It's very cool, and I think I'm still trying to be that. I still got to prove it to myself. I mean, I know that I got a great routine. I'm 41. I'm still feel like I can do everything I always did, and I want to continue to do it. I want to do it when I'm 45.
He called you, but you've inspired other guys like Breeze and other guys like Matt Ryan to know that they can play well into their 40s.
Yeah, I think so too. And like I said, there's guys that inspired me. I mean, that's what it's all about. They're always trying to take to the next level.
So there he goes again with the 45, by the way. Like, he kind of – remember, he stepped away from that for like a minute. Now he's back on 45. So he's still playing 4 more years.
Yeah, I'm curious to know, you know, who was his inspiration as far as longevity?
Yeah, because that guy didn't really exist.
Well, it kind of did, I guess.
Who, Steve DeBerg?
He was a big – no, stop it.
That's who he loved? Vinny Testaverde?
Yeah, played here.
Yeah, maybe it was Vinny.
And Vinny – was not pliable at
all. I was going to say,
those are just good Italian genes,
like,
right there.
What was his last good year? Like, he was in the league a long time.
I played with Vinny Testaverde.
How good – just because you're in the league at 44 even doesn't mean you're an MVP candidate.
Warren
Brett, Moon. You played with Warren
Moon. I played with Warren, and I'm telling you, like, there was a cliff with Warren. Yeah. And he was okay being a backup. So he was in Kansas City, and he was fine being a backup.
Favre was good at 40, not 41.
Was that the year?
I think that's what it was. It was a 39, not 40. Yeah, he had a really good year with the Vikings.
But to see, again, he got hurt.
Yeah.
So his last year, he got hurt. And there was at that point in time, I think if recovering is too much of a mountain to climb, then you and while you're climbing it, you're still trying to play, it just really makes you feel like crap. You're like, why even bother? You know, you kind of now the writing's on the wall. This is one that I don't feel like overcoming, right? Because I'm at the end anyway, so why should I fight through it?
It does speak to Brady's mindset, though, where the guy's played for 18 years, and he's like, well, I still got to prove it to myself.
Like, here's the thing.
That's pretty wild.
I know. I mean, we say it all the time. It really is so unbelievably insane that he's still playing.
Yeah.
Because I remember, like –
and people, playing this well.
Like there was this – you remember Bruce Gronkowski?
Yeah. From Toledo?
Yeah. Matt guy.
Yeah.
So I was working with him this weekend. I think he played 11 years. And I remember that's a long time.
Yeah, right. And, Steelers and Browns,
yeah,
right?
A bunch of different teams.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was saying, like, he just got sick of, like, the grind. He got sick of, you know, recovering, prepping, you know, keeping his body in shape. And that's only 11 years, which is.
Yeah.
I remember I was at 10. I remember Warren Moon told me when I was playing with him, he was like, listen. When you physically and mentally can't handle it anymore, when you're just, I hate this.
I'm fried.
Get 3 more years. Like, this is him telling me this. Like, when you're mentally, physically done with it, get three more years.
Yeah, because seems crazy.
Well, because
what kind of advice is that?
His point was, like, because once you're out, like,
you're not out. You're not coming back.
You're not coming back in. You're already, you know, 30-something.
Unless you're Josh Gordon.
I was 37 when I was done. Like, it wasn't like I was young either.
No, that's a long career. I mean, that's a long career. Yeah, I mean, it is for him he has to continue to stay motivated and prove how good he is. But it's a good question, though, like, because he doesn't name any names there. And so, like, plenty of guys, like, this whole generation of quarterbacks, even the guys that are in their mid-30s, like Aaron Rodgers, they can all say, well, Brady, like, Brady before me proved that you could play well into your 40s. But for Brady, there really isn't that many guys at all.
Not with the profile that he has.
Yeah.
I would keep saying Brett Favre, but that guy's an anomaly.
Maybe.
Like,
he's
you know, he's like your old North Dallas 40. He's drinking, smoking. Ah, let's party.
Right. You know, like, he played, but he was doing it differently.
Brett Favre didn't know certain coverages until, like, you know, year 10 in the league. Yeah. Like, I heard Mike Holmgren last week on Monday Night Football telling a story about Brett Favre, how he didn't know what, like, cover two was. He didn't know what it was.
Oh, I saw this quote out there. I'll forget it, so I got to say it now. Jamarcus Russell. The number one pick.
From LSU.
Did you hear about this story? So when he was with the Raiders, they were like, we don't think he's watching tape. Like, we're telling him.
I'm going to love this already.
We're telling him to watch tape. So what they did was they gave him a bunch of blank tapes, and he came back and said, yeah, I studied up on blitz coverages. The tapes were blank, and he lied to him and said, yeah, I noticed the blitz stuff. So they specifically set him up by giving him blank tapes.
Oh my god!
Then he obviously never even once popped into the VCR or the DVD player or whatever.
See, that is
like they knew it, and they were just like, "We're gonna catch him. We're gonna catch him with it."
And then what is that's got to be an awkward interaction, right?
I bet they didn't even say anything. I bet they were just like, okay, Jamarcus.
You know what? That's probably better.
Good.
You know, now we know.
Yeah, we know. Like, there's no doubt about it.
That's funny because, like, coaches used to do that all the time. They were like, so they'd give you, like, your playbook, whatever.
Yeah.
And in there, they would be, like, little codes. Or, like, listen, like, they want to see if you were looking at every page and study it. So every now and then, they send a little message in there. First person to bring me their playbook gets $25. The first person to say, you know, Shazam, right?
Yeah, right. So because you went through the whole thing.
Yeah, you went through it all. You went through all the coverages, and that just happened to be some bull crap that you knew wasn't going to be on the test.
Correct.
So I'll react. So yeah. No one – I remember, like, how this happens a lot. Like, the coach comes up, and it's, you know, guys, hey, guys, nobody
– nobody brought me a pineapple today?
No. Anybody?
Nobody?
Anybody? Yeah, it was like something like that. Anybody got a pineapple? Anyone got a pineapple?
Why would and then be like, it's like, it's page five.
Yeah, look at page five. And we were all like kicking ourselves because we could have got $100.
Because you just left money.
But that story, are you surprised by the Jamarcus?
No, not at all. I don't know. It's like a Sports Illustrated story coming out. I just saw it on Twitter. Somebody had the quote about it. I'm like, that. So there's probably more to it. I bet there's even more stories like that for why another guy who was a number one pick was just an
absolute this guy
bust.
Just thought he could just run out there and just throw everything through. Just throw everything.
No, I think he was one of those guys. My guess would be, all right, when I show up, I'll play and practice, and then when I leave, I'm done. I bet there's a lot of guys like that. They're like, I'm so talented that I can just show up and do it. You're like, well, there's a little bit more. You need to. There's a little bit more to it.
Freaking believable.
So actually, speaking of that, Tom Brady also talked about mastering his craft.
What does it mean to master your craft? Because it seems like you've kind of mastered your craft.
I think AI was. I just love the game, and I think that has always felt like transcended, you know, so many things for me. It never feels like practice to go to practice. It feels like fun. I get to go and play football with my friends, and of course, I'm not hitting every single day, which I know is hard for a lot of guys. You know, that wear and tear is tough. Mm-hmm. For a quarterback, you know, we get to go, you know, we're playing football.
Well, technically, not really.
Well, they're not a kicker.
Okay. Like, I love how he seriously.
But he knows it.
See, that is so key. Like, when you take that walk from the locker room, like this, you use Gillette as an example.
Yep.
When you take that walk from the locker room, you got to walk through the tunnel. You go outside, go up the stairs. Either you're inside or you're right on those turf. When you make that walk, if you're like in pain, you've been dealing with injuries. That is
the worst
feeling in the world. Oh, yeah. Playing with my friends. You could give two craps about your friends.
Yeah.
Because you're in pain and you're trying to feel like, how am I not going to be?
Probably how Gronk felt this week.
Yes.
Like he's walking out there like, this is not going
to
work.
That, to me, will force you to quit at any point in time. That's why if you want to play for a long time, being injured is like the worst thing possible.
Yeah.
Because that fear of just playing like crap, because that's really what does it.
You're going to play bad and get hurt worse.
Yeah, you can't. Well, yeah, you're hurt and you're playing like crap. And so that's no fun.
Well, and think about it, too. When people are watching you, like, they don't care. Like, they don't know how hurt you are or care. They're like, oh, he sucks today. Like, what's wrong with him?
And you know what the rule is usually? So, like, if you're playing, then you're not allowed to suck.
No, like, you're out there. So, he was healthy enough to play. Yeah, so, I'm expecting the normal.
So, what if you're 80%? You should still catch. What are you doing?
Right. Exactly.
Then don't practice.
Exactly. All right, we got one more cut from Brady that we'll play coming up. Also, we'll pick the game. And again, no Rob Gronkowski, no Sony Michel. So I think it certainly makes it a lot more even for Patriots and Packers. Tonight, it's an 8:20 kickoff from right here at Gillette Stadium. It's Keith and Fourier, NFL Sunday Sports Radio, WEEI.
You're listening to NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mutnanski. Let's get back to it on Sports Radio, WEEI.
you know. And every time I walk in the locker room, I go, God, you know, I walk out to practice, I see these guys working hard on the field or in the parking lot, and I go, man, now that's working. You know, they have jobs, you know. I feel like in so many ways I don't have a job. You know, I've just got to love what I do. And because of that, you know, it makes me want to just keep doing it. So it's a sport. I mean, I get to play football for a career, and I don't think there's anything I could have dreamed of that would be better than that.
Tom Brady with Rodney Harrison, which you'll hear as part of the broadcast tonight, Sunday Night Football.
Oh, we can just keep re-airing it.
We can keep playing it.
Just listen to us.
We'll just hear us. That's what you're going to have. But so there's more of it. We played a chunk of it. And
we played like 90% of it.
That's all. That's all you really need. But again, it's sort of, I think, Fourier as a, I guess, a real football player, you'd have to appreciate him saying that the quarterback's job is pretty easy.
Well, I do like, there's a lot of things that he said. Like just, you know, you walk through this door. When you talk to people who have, I just call it, quote unquote, real jobs.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And
you're linebackers. You're O-line.
No. I'm talking about like
real jobs.
Oh, like guys that are like waking up in the morning, going to work.
Nine to fivers.
The
ham and eggers.
Yeah. Like when you think about it that way, you do realize how unbelievably fortunate you are to be able to play this game.
Good point.
Because once you're out of it and you go, oh, crap, I wish I would. Everybody who gets out of it wishes they could get back in.
Right.
That's why my little line to you about Warren Moon, like, you know, listen, after you're physically, mentally done, don't quit. Get 3 more years. Like, that's why.
So if you can play to your 45, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, right?
Because physically he seems fine, and mentally he seems to still be enjoying it. He talks about how much fun he's having.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're going to keep
and
playing.
And if you're not in pain,
right,
what's driving you? What's keeping you away?
Because the other 50 guys in the locker room probably are in pain. Like,
yes.
All the time.
You know,
he and Gostkowski are like, yeah, we feel good.
I, like, watch these games, and I sit there and go, man, like, there's – You can't play. You have to assume you're going to have like an injury, like a bad injury.
Yeah.
If you play long enough, it's inevitable. You can't hide from it.
Yeah.
You're going to lose a season. You're going to play a whole season hurt. You're going to have to wait to overcome it, go through an off season, all that crap. Like Gronk right now. I mean, how many of these types of seasons has he had? Like last year, I would say he probably felt great. And also knowing like the other rule with the Patriots that if you get hurt and you have like a surgery or anything like that, like, you have to come early to camp.
Okay.
So, psychologically, like, oh, listen, I played in the last game. I didn't have any surgeries, no issues. Hey, I come in when everybody else comes in. I'm not catching
or
up
or a little
anything.
Bit later.
Oh,
if
it's
you're
true.
Brady and Gronk this year.
It's true.
Or a little bit later.
Yeah,
you don't come to all the stuff. So, no Sony Michel, no Rob Gronkowski. I think even, you know, so completely getting overlooked is no Shaq Mason. So, I think initially you got to wonder if there's going to be any kind of letdown there. I think there's
no issues on defense, though, right?
It seems like defense is pretty good.
Yeah, so everybody's healthy. Hightower's back.
Yeah.
Flowers is fine. All those guys are healthy.
Yeah, so defense seems to be pretty good. And I think they obviously have their work cut out for them with Aaron Rodgers, but this isn't the Kansas City Chiefs offense that they faced a couple weeks ago that has, you know, an elite guy at every position.
Yeah.
This isn't that, but it's still Aaron Rodgers, so they have their challenge. But I'm most interested to see what the offense looks like. Is it a big Josh Gordon game? Is it just more White and Edelman, or does somebody else emerge with two of your most important guys both sitting out?
I'm curious just those first 15 plays for Green Bay. I want to know what their offense looks like. I mean, are they being aggressive? Are they taking the approach, okay, we can't give them extra possessions? I mean, do we have to be, aggressive, or are we not going to be aggressive now because we don't believe that they can move the ball as much? So, and Jimmy Graham. Oh, no, really. Dwayne Allen.
Dwayne Allen's the guy.
That's really the guy
you're really
all right, I'm going to lower it.
I mean,
three catches and a touchdown.
Three?
Three and a touchdown.
What?
Listen, even James Devlin catches the ball in the flat.
So a couple of weeks ago.
You're like the fifth option. He's the
fifth option. No, so listen, so 2 weeks ago.
Three and a touchdown. Bam, all up in your face.
2 weeks. It's not going to be in my face. So 2 weeks ago, Gronk didn't play. How much more was Dwayne Allen a part of the offense?
It was a different game plan.
Oh, tonight. So tonight's
Josh
tonight.
Josh Gordon, yes.
Tonight's tonight.
No Hollister either.
Josh Gordon's going to be out there.
Yeah, I'm going to drop the mic.
You're dropping the mic on
Allen. No Hollister
either. You got to move on from it.
I also feel like Hollister is like, there's a story that's like, what's wrong with him?
I wish
get his brother back here.
Yeah, Cody.
His twin.
Get his twin. What's the difference?
Oh, they're like 20, 40
probably
pounds?
Yeah.
Lighter.
Apparently. But why? Yeah, that he could have been a guy.
Man, he could have been. He really could have been.
I think
killing
he would have been nice.
No, I mean.
Okay, I thought, I don't know if you're being sarcastic.
No.
Because they lined him up in different spots in the preseason. I'm like, he's more like the H-back type of guy. I thought he could do some damage.
No, I actually thought he was too, because He can catch the ball.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want him blocking, but so what? But no. He can definitely he's reliable catching the football. I was like, terrible missed opportunity for him because yeah. Dwayne Allen, they're not changing his role.
No. No.
Like, sorry. No.
No, just because they don't
get to be the H now. You don't get to be the pass catching
tight end. Actually, what we're going to need you to do is stay in and block again.
Yeah, like, you know what?
Come on.
Shea Matthews. Yeah, I want you to chip and release. Mm-hmm. That was my thing. Like, James Steflin, I don't know what game it was early in the season. He had like three catches. They were all check releases.
Yeah, right away.
All on the flat.
And I think that was it for him.
Career high.
Three right away.
He's got more catches than Dwayne Allen.
The other part of the Sony Michel injury is obviously this is another week in which he's out. It's really, what, 2.5 games that he's out? Because when he got hurt, he was gone for most of the game that he went down in. That almost changes things even more. I mean, I'm not trying to compare Gronk and Michel. Gronk is significantly better. But as far as... they're still going to pass the ball. Like Brady's still going to throw the ball 40 times, but they're not going to run it probably as much as they would want to if Michelle was back there.
No. So it's just – and here's the other thing, just another score moment.
Yeah.
Okay, so Rodgers has the old-school helmet, and Brady switched.
Yeah, he did. What do you think that means?
I think
Rodgers is retiring after this
year? I'm going to channel my inner
Pats are going with the all blues, it looks like.
I heard people aren't a fan of that.
I want them to bring Pat Patriot back. That's what I really enjoy.
The old school? Yeah, I thought they did that on like
Yeah, but they can't change the helmets now. I think you can switch the decals if you want, but they all have to, it's like one of the rules in the NFL. So like they couldn't go white helmets now cuz their helmets are silver.
Cordell Patterson is like he's a very big person.
Big dude.
He's
fast
a big
dude.
He's maybe the fastest guy on the team.
He's very fast. It's so, all right, so what do you got? Who wins tonight? I said Packers before. You're going to stick with them, right?
Oh, God, yeah. I feel a little bit better about it.
I don't think the Packers are that good. So I think the Patriots win, but if the number is still 5.5, I'll say the Packers cover. I think the Patriots win by 3 or 4, something like that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, lock that down. Like a 30-27. How do you like that? I'll even slap a number on it.
Ooh, 30-27. I think I had like 35-31 or something like that.
Okay, so kind of a shootout either way. Yeah. So that'll do it for us. I want to thank Ryan and Bridget back at the studio in Brighton. Thanks, Doug, for making sure that we were on the air from our best yet broadcast booth. Mutt will be back with us next week. And so after the game, tune into the real post-game show. Glenn, who is feeding us, with Steve and Fred's. It's immediately following the game. So for Fourier, I'm Keefe. I'll talk to you tomorrow from Gillette. It's a Patriots Monday tomorrow. Me and Dale on at 10. We'll have a couple of Patriots players on. Enjoy the game. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.